vibes. Welcome back to another episode of the Hoop Genius Podcast. NBA 2K25 is just days away. So if you haven't yet, please do click the link in the description of the show. It helps support us and what we do. But more importantly, not only do you get the best video game coming out this year, you also get a bunch of free stuff included in the game and a 12-month subscription to NBA League Pass. What's better than that? Nothing's better than that, except maybe this episode, because it's myself, Moritzy, Mr. Scott Perry, and Mr. BJ Armstrong. BJ, where in the world are you today?
Oh, man, I'm in the great city of New York. So nice they named it twice.
I got a question, though. Have you had a New York slice of pizza yet?
I haven't had a chance to get outside yet.
You didn't get a slice?
I've been on the phone. Hey, Scott, I've been on the phone all day. I got some beer. I've been on the phone all day, Scott. I don't know who I've been talking to, but I've been on the phone all day.
I thought, but even though you're on the phone, you know, you can walk and get your slice, come back and keep talking.
Ain't a trip to New York without a slice, bro. But today we're going to continue some of what we did yesterday, looking at this off-season survey from ESPN. And Scott, I hope you're in your bag and you're ready for this, because this is the GM special. The first question is, which team had the best off-season this summer?
Wow, that is an excellent question. There's a few that is in between. You know, the obvious is Philadelphia by signing Paul George. That was a big one. The Knicks picking up Mikal Bridges. But I'm going to go sneaky here, and I'm going to give my man Sam Presti some love, and I'm going to say Oklahoma City Thunder in picking up Isaiah Hartenstein and the guard from Chicago.
Alex Caruso.
I'm drawing a blank on his name.
Caruso. Trade. Oh my Lord.
And so, because I'm saying that because they got two players that feel a very important need for this team. They needed to get tougher. They needed to get better defensively. They needed to add some size to the front court. You know, Hartenstein brings that. Obviously, Caruso brings the versatility defensively. And he's another guy who's improved every year in terms of being a three-point shooter. So I'm going to lean towards the OKC Thunder. That's my pick to come out of the Western Conference. So I'm going to stay consistent there.
Well, BJ, you're in New York. You got going with the Knicks?
I'm in New York, so I have to. I'm all New York. Go New York. New York. I got to go with the Knicks. I have to go with the Knicks. They re-signed their guys. All of the guys they brought, OG, you know, and
the steal of the summer, Jalen Brunson. That contract, boy, how they convinced him to leave 100 M's on the table.
We're going to move past that.
Let
me tell you guys this, though. In the answers to the survey, the majority of them picked the Philadelphia 76ers. 8 votes for the Sixers, 5 for the Knicks, 3 for the Thunder, and 2 for the Celtics. But I'm struggling to see how giving a contract to a player who has not really done much in his career so far, and is now 34 years old, but you're going to be paying him $57 million when he's 37, turning 38. I don't think that's as great as a move. Unless it ends up in a championship right now, it's a bad move, unless it ends up in a championship. But I guess it's not a bad move because they didn't have any other options. But I wouldn't say that they had the best offseason, because for me, the Knicks moves bring them closer to a championship than the Sixers moves do.
Oh, I would agree with that. I think the Sixers, it's NBA finals or bust for them.
No, they got championship
at minimum. I know, I hear you on the championship, but they haven't even been past the second round, Mo. So that's why I'm saying they at minimum they got to get to the NBA finals. At least you get an Eastern Conference trophy for that, being Eastern Conference champions.
You know, I was in Philadelphia recently.
Did you get a cheesesteak?
During the draft process. I did not. I did not.
You're going to take me with you, bro, because you're missing out on all these trips.
Yeah, well, I was on the phone.
Make that money.
So, but it was one of the things I was just talking to the Sixer fans. And I think the reason they did that deal with Paul George was because of the following. Joel Embiid is in an interesting space or place in this during this time of his career. Everything has to happen right now for him. Make no doubt about it. So in order to reassure him, to reassure the city, the team, they made a collective decision, say we're going for it regardless. And I think everyone will acknowledge, you heard Scott say, I know Scott, if you were there and we were there and Mo was there, we would be very hesitant to have that type of money invested into a player of that age. However, if you're going to do it, you got to do it now with Joel. You just, I mean, that's where it's at. And they made the decision to do that. So from that standpoint, I love it when people push their chips to the middle of the table.
Oh, yeah.
And no, we'll see. We'll see what happens. It beats the alternative. Yeah. But it's certainly, hey, Scott, it's certainly one of those moves you would, you're like this, you're hesitant. Oh,
yeah.
But I think There's you no have question. To go for it. I think you have to go for it with Joel.
I have no problem with what they did, like you said, in saying, hey, let's go after the championship. Our best player, our franchise player, needed some help, was asking for help. He's in a situation that, look, we got to maximize him while we have him. And he's pushing 30 now himself. And so you got to go ahead and try to win it. Paul George was the highest profile, most talented player on the free agent market. You go get him. You add him to Tyrese Maxey. And you roll the dice and say, okay, here it is.
You know what a signing is? This is like that 4 a.m. you send that risky DM. Now, if it works, it's a great move. If you win a championship, it's a great move. But if it doesn't work, you wake up in the morning feeling like an idiot.
But you know what, Mo? I'm going to say this. There's no question. But let me just say this to you about having sat in that seat. No matter how good the deal is received or not received publicly, once you make the one thing nobody has is the advantage of having a crystal ball and saying, okay, when we make this deal, that means we're going to be champions or, you know, Final Four, whatever the case may be. At the end of the day, you don't know because you still got to play basketball. That you got to see how the new guys fit and the guys that you let go, especially if it was a trade, you know, how much you're going to miss them. There's so much unknown. I mean, you're trying to at your very best to figure, you know, project what you think this is going to be for you. But you never know until you get to training camp and you start playing games early in the season, whether or not, you know, that move is going to be the one. So hopefully for them, it is.
Well, let me ask you this then. Which team had the worst offseason this summer?
The worst offseason this summer? Well, I don't, you know, I don't know what the Portland Trailblazers are doing. You guys have to help me with that one.
I mean, I like the kid Klingon that they drafted. I can think of a team that had a worse offseason than Portland.
I'm just saying, but they're not in a position to win anything. You've got a coach that's been sitting there for a few years, you know, in Chauncey Billups, and they have yet to give him anything to show his ability to coach a team. And I just think it's tough. I think it's a that comes to my mind quickly. I don't like what
it's. Do you want to know the real answer?
What's the real answer?
BJ, do you know the real answer for the team that had the worst offseason?
I'm listening.
You ain't going to like this one, BJ.
I know where he's going with this one.
But there was a team out there who had a chance to sign the best GM in the game. A team that's desperately struggling. And they made the wrong decision. That's your Pistons. Enjoy the lottery for another 10 years. Good luck. Good luck. Good luck and goodbye.
Hey.
If
no one else is going to say it, I'll say it.
This
is the worst offseason. They got one vote. The Knicks got a vote for the worst offseason. The Lakers got a vote. And I think that's an interesting shout because they didn't do too much to upgrade the roster and they were bullied into drafting their franchise player's son. The Clippers got four votes. I think they had a pretty bad offseason. They basically swapped Paul George for Derek Jones Jr. The Chicago Bulls got five votes and the Denver Nuggets got six votes. And we'll keep talking about some of those teams later on, but which single move, whether it be a trade or a signing or something in a draft, was the best move of the offseason?
I'm going to go with Caruso. I thought that was a terrific move. Yeah. I really did. I mean, I got to give Sam credit. It just fit all around, right? It fit financially. It fit basketball. What they needed on their team. Sometimes you hit it. Now, sometimes you do everything right and it doesn't work, at mm-hmm. least on paper. And then sometimes I remember when your Celtics got Isaiah Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden,
it was a trade for Marcus Thornton at a trade deadline. And there was like eight other trades, which ended us with Isaiah Thomas.
Yes. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, he becomes an all-star and that mm-hmm. caliber of player.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
certainly on paper, the Caruso, in my opinion,
they
is
didn't
one
even
of
give
the
up
deals
a pick.
That's just
yeah,
like
they give, yeah,
fell
no,
into
it,
yeah they just fell into their lap, you know.
They gave up Josh Giddey, who was their weak link in the playoff. They didn't give up a pick, and they got one of the best perimeter defenders in the NBA.
Yeah, no,
Scott, what was your move?
Well, obviously, I said that I thought the Thunder had the best overall offseason, but I'm going to pick a different team. You're just talking about the one move because I combined the two moves that the Thunder made. And I'm going to go with the Dallas Mavericks picking up Klay Thompson. Because what I liked about that is there's a team that went to the NBA Finals last year and they analyzed, okay, where they came up short. Obviously, they needed to be a little bit better defensively. And, Luka, I'm sure, is internalizing that and got to figure out how he's going to come back better, especially in those moments defensively. But they needed a reliable guy, third guy who could score the basketball and help create some more space for him. Klay Thompson, four-time champion. I think he is going to be really motivated to play well. I'm sure he feels a certain kind of way, how things ended there in Golden State. And I think he's going to have a lot to prove and show people that he still got something left in the tank and that he's a very productive player still in this league. So I'm going with the Dallas Mavericks picking up Klay Thompson because I believe that's going to help them this year, try to be a team that gets back to the finals. So Klay Thompson.
Scott, I think that's a terrific pick. I want to give just a – let's not sleep on it. DeMar DeRozan quietly went out to Sacramento. Mm. And that could be – that could turn
I like
out to
that.
Be a really
that's
good
another
pickup
one.
That could pay
one.
Dividends. Because this guy,
absolutely.
Throughout his
absolutely.
Career, he's figured it out.
And that's another one.
Absolutely.
That's another one. We talked about the Chicago Bulls giving up Alex Caruso for nothing. They gave away DeRozan, and somehow the San Antonio Spurs got the best part of that deal. And they basically got nothing.
So I think Sacramento really did themselves well. And be interesting to see. But I agree with you. I think Klay will be heavily motivated.
Yeah, I think.
How'd the vote come out, Mo?
I think that they've stacked the anonymous questionnaires with people in Philadelphia because Paul George signing with the Sixers once again got the most votes.
Okay.
He got 6 votes. Alex Caruso to the Thunder got 5. Jalen Brunson extending with the Knicks is 3 votes. And I think that was the best move when you look at it financially. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope signing with the Magic got 2 votes. Here's one that I thought was really clever. Rob Dillingham being drafted by the Timberwolves because they couldn't really do much this summer. And they went into the draft and walked away with the guy that they really wanted. And then the Brooklyn Nets got a vote for trading away Mikal Bridges. So the Knicks didn't get a vote for trading for him. Okay. But
they gave up a lot.
Someone thinks that was the best trade for the Nets.
I like the fit of Mikal Bridges, but they did have to give up a lot. They gave up a lot of assets to get him, and I don't have a question that he's going to fit. He's going to play well. He's there with his Villanova buddies. Makes them very formidable on the wings defensively, having both he and OG. So, but it did cost a lot. And to me, they're almost in that, they're somewhat in that Philadelphia bucket.
Yeah.
They got to make it to the finals. Minimum conference finals.
What was the worst singular move of the NBA offseason? The worst signing or the worst trade or the worst a team not doing anything? Which was the worst one?
There was I just didn't understand the length of the contract for the Phoenix Suns. what's his name? You know the player's name, Mo. Forward, he played at Brooklyn, he played at Utah.
Oh, Royce O'Neal.
Yeah, they gave him like 4 years. And I just didn't understand the length. I think he's a really good player. But I was like, was anyone else going to give him 4 years? Like, I just didn't understand.
No, they weren't. But if he had walked away, like, their depth is already bad as it is. I think he had all the leverage in that discussion. Because he could have gone. Okay, he only got $9 million for this season coming up. He could have gone and got there somewhere else. But
okay, yeah. I didn't know if there was another team. I didn't see anywhere else where, you know, at that length. But possibly, I'm sure it was. But all right, that makes sense.
What about you, Scott? What do you think was the worst move of the offseason?
Well, when you say, like, BJ was mentioning that Caruso being the best move, you know, coming from OKC, they had a trading partner. And I just didn't understand, especially at the time of the trade, Chicago not getting a draft pick in addition to that, because Caruso had a lot of value around the league. And no disrespect to Josh Giddey at all, but I just thought they were in position to get more for that player, knowing that he was a pretty hot commodity on the market, and not getting that. And now, you know, then you lose DeRozan as well. You know, what direction are the Bulls going? You know, they seem to me to be continually stuck in neutral, and not only these moves here. I don't even know if that means they're ever going to be stuck in neutral anymore. They may start to even move backwards. So we'll see.
Yeah. I mean, they're primed for me to come in and take over that franchise. I think that's what they're really calling for over in Chicago. Do you know what I think was the worst move of the offseason?
What's that?
Denver letting KCP go to, well, not letting, but KCP leaving Denver. I think for Denver, who already lost Bruce Brown and Jeff Green that we talked about all year long, losing a championship player who's won multiple championships now, multiple different places, KCP, from an already kind of depleted roster, it's awful, because that could really be the difference between them winning and not winning a championship this season. Now they're putting so much pressure on Christian Brown, Peyton Watson, and now hoping that Russell Westbrook can gel with the squad. But with KCP, you know what you're getting. You're getting great defense. You're getting a knockdown three-point shooter. And I think him leaving and going to Orlando Magic was the worst move on Denver's part.
Well, it to me, it's just clear that that might have been a decision even above the front office.
In terms of ownership
deciding that. Yeah, exactly. That's purely financial. And, you know, every owner knows his own pocketbook and his willingness to dip into that and how much they want to go into a tax situation. You know, they made the calculus that they didn't want to do that in that instance. So we'll see how it plays out for them.
Well, the results from the poll, Chicago's role in the DeMar DeRozan trade got 3 votes. Sacramento's part in the DeMar DeRozan trade got 3 votes. A lot of people aren't excited about DeMar DeRozan being in Sacramento. Paul George signing with the Sixers also got 3 votes. KCP leaving Denver got 2. Mikal Bridges going to the Knicks got 2. The Pelicans trading for DeJounte Murray got a vote. BJ's not going to be happy with this, but someone voted for Evan Mobley getting a contract extension in Cleveland being the worst move of the offseason.
Oh, wow.
The Lakers inactivity got a vote. Isaiah Hartenstein signing in OKC got a vote. And Chicago's part in the Caruso-Josh Giddey deal also got a vote. But the question that I have now is, which offseason move surprised you the most?
Which offseason move surprised me the most?
Yeah, what was the most surprising move of the offseason? If you go back 12 months and someone came to you and said, this will happen next summer, you would have laughed at
that. Well, if you put it that way, I'm surprised that DeRozan ended up in Sacramento. I didn't see Sacramento going out to get him, knowing how much the organization, you know, values three-point shooting and all those things. And you know, DeRozan is gotten a little better in that area, but we know he likes to play in that mid-range area, which, I mean, I love him for that, and I love the player. But if you're saying 12 months ago that I thought he would end up on the Sacramento Kings, probably I would be surprised. I would be surprised by that one.
BJ, what about you?
Well, I think I mentioned one of the, I just didn't, again, when you try to, but this is just my own take. You always try to figure out the market and you try to look at the competitive, you know, as an agent, as an executive, you try to look at the market and say, what is this player going to demand? I mentioned with Phoenix, you know, I think Royce O'Neal is a really good player. However, I just didn't see another team that was like right. in the market.
Yeah, right.
I just didn't see. I was like, oh, wow, that's interesting. I never expected, because of the complete circumstances, right? And I think in this, I'm saying it with an unfair advantage from this standpoint. When you see a team normally move into a new building like the Clippers, mm-hmm. they always want to move into a building with their best foot forward, or at least retain the players here that have, mm-hmm. you know, they've been in the organization, what have you. I didn't expect Paul George to be able to move like that with them going into a new building. I thought that I was like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
That was another move that I was just kind of like, I thought they would just hash it out. I just assumed that they would figure it out.
Figure it out. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think they would move
it's
it
good
out.
Call.
And then there was one other move that I really have failed to, because I didn't understand what Atlanta's perspective was when they traded DeAndre. Like, what were they trying to achieve with the deal? Okay, all right, you're going to trade him, but what were you trying to achieve, especially knowing you had the number one pick?
Mm-hmm. Right.
I just did not, and I didn't understand it. Now, maybe it will reveal itself later, and sometimes those things happen. As you know, there's things that you're looking or what, but Jackson Moore is a really good player.
And you can see that in New Orleans.
Yeah, you and so I didn't expect, like, okay, what were you trying to achieve when you moved him though? Like, I didn't say, okay, we're going in, you know, like Scott just mentioned about the Bulls. Okay, all right, the Bulls may be going into a, you know, a refresher or rebuild or what have you, retooling as we like to call it. Mm-hmm. I don't know what they were doing. So there were some surprises that I just was like, okay, I got to keep looking to figure out what exactly their direction they're going in.
Do you know what move surprised me? Well, it wasn't surprising in the build up to it happening, but if you went 12 months ago and told me that next summer, a podcaster is going to be the head coach of the second most successful franchise in the NBA.
Yeah, Mo, you Mo, went off the playing surface. Yeah, okay, yeah. Mo, I didn't know that was
Mo's,
a fair game. Exactly.
Mo's going to go off there. Mo's going to go off
no,
there.
No, I'm
the
just
field.
Saying, if 12 months ago someone told you that a man who coaches his under-12s, his son's under-12s AAU team and does a podcast is going to walk into the Staples Center and be unveiled as the new head coach, you would have thought I was crazy.
No, I would just tell you, welcome to the NBA. Anything is possible. Where anything is possible. Where anything is possible.
Obviously, with that, like, when they started doing the podcast together, JJ and LeBron started doing the podcast together, you could see they were laying the foundation for it to happen. But before that,
right,
no way I thought that someone would make that leap. You know, we've seen guys like Steve Kerr and Doc Rivers go from being broadcasters to being NBA head coaches, but they've worked as assistant coaches or in the front office or whatever capacity beforehand. Whereas this is, it's a whole new world we're living in. It's a whole new world. So if any teams need a coach, I do a podcast. I don't have a son's under 12 AAU team's coach, but I play plenty of 2K. Maybe that gives me the credentials. Who knows?
and you can teach the players how to play with their back to the basket on the low block and use the window.
Come on, Scott. You know the vibes, man. You know BJ always hates on three-point shooting on this show. We're going to be running post-ups every play. Get a little high-low action going on. Come on, man. We're going to be cooking. But that's another episode of the Hoop Genius podcast. And we'll be back tomorrow with another one. BJ, enjoy New York City. Take a picture of the pizza slice when you get it so I can live vicariously through you.
Okay, all right, we'll do.
Scott, I hope you're having a great time as well. Thank you to everyone for listening. Make sure you get your copy of NBA 2K25 through the link in our description. And if you do want to see some gameplay of 2K25 before it comes out, I got the chance to play the game early. You can see that across my social media and YouTube and all that kind of stuff. So you guys will know where to find it. Join the Discord as well. There'll be plenty of stuff in there. And until next time, get buckets.